نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى in various verses of the glorious Quran orders the believers to adopt taqwa. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, adopt taqwa. And normally, these verses are translated with these words, O you who believe, fear Allah. اتقوا الله فير الله. اتقوا ربكم فير your رب. اتقوا الله فير الله. These are the three verses cited as the khutbah of nikah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة until the end of the verse. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا until the end of the verse. So اتقوا الله اتقوا ربكم اتقوا الله. They convey the same message. Adopt taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is a shield. Taqwa is derived from wiqaya. Taqwa, wiqaya is a shield. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ittaqullah, it means, O you who believe, create a shield between yourselves and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear Allah means fear the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a shield between yourselves and those things that will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mean fearing him like a person would fear a lion, like a person would fear a snake or a scorpion, like a person would fear an enemy. Fear Allah means fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming unhappy with you. It's like a son who is showered with favors by his father. Right from childhood to his reaching the age of 25-30. And he has seen nothing but affection from his father. And after 25-30 years, he leaves his home after Isha to go somewhere, and the father says, "My son, make sure you return before 11 o'clock. The father is affectionate, and because the father has been affectionate for the past 25-30 years, one can imagine how much love the son has for his father, how much respect the son has for his father, how much reverence the son has for his father. So, son, make sure you come back before 11 o'clock. So the son goes, he sits in the company of his friends, and quarter to 11 comes, he says, "I must return home because my father said return before 11 o'clock. So his friends say, "You scared of your father? Are you scared of your father?" He will say, "No, I am not scared of my father. But I fear his displeasure. Because he has done so much for me, that is the last thing I would want to do, to displease him. So I do not fear my father, I fear his displeasure. And displeasure will be the result of my disobedience to him. So I cannot disobey him." Allah is loving. Allah is all loving, all affectionate, all compassionate, all merciful, all forgiving. He has granted us existence from nothing. And after granting us existence from nothing, he has granted us everything that we required. Eyes, ears, nose, teeth, tongue, brain, heart, oxygen, food, water. So when we reach the age of 15, when we become baligh, after that 16, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50, we are so much indebted to him and we have so much love for him that we cannot even think of doing anything contrary to his wishes and make him unhappy. Love, it is love. It's not fear that, "Oh, I'm scared of Allah." No, love. I love him so much that I cannot even dream of doing something that will make him unhappy. Ittaqullah, fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we all need to concentrate on, my friends. Alhamdulillah, salat is there. Alhamdulillah, tilawat is there. Alhamdulillah, dhikr is there. Alhamdulillah, tasbih is there. Alhamdulillah, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Alhamdulillah, umrah is there. Alhamdulillah, hajj is there. Alhamdulillah, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Spending in the construction of masajid, madaris is there. All these a'mal are there. But with these a'mal, we are also disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we need to concentrate on is not only the good aspects of our lives, that alhamdulillah, I am doing this, I am doing this, I am doing this, I am doing this. What we all need to do is to take X-ray of our lives, CT scan, MRI scan, and try to see where we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the list of all the good things that we are doing in our minds, but we don't have not a list, not even a single item in our minds where we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from shaitan. This is from shaitan. Shaitan is deceiving us. And he has deceived us into making us reach that stage where we are deceiving ourselves into thinking that we are very religious. Whereas on the day of Qiyamah, my friends, when the good amals will be put in the right hand side pan of the scale, and the evil deeds will be placed in the left hand side pan of the scale, we will realize how much good we have and how much evil we have. Many a times we find that shaitan is not preventing us from coming to salat 5 times daily. There are so many people who find no difficulty whatsoever in coming for Fajr Salat, in coming for Zohar, in coming for Asr, in coming for Maghrib, in coming for Isha. We find so many people who go to for Hajj, for Umrah, and they find no difficulty in spending much time in the Haramain Sharifain and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find so many people in the month of Ramadan who are round the clock 24 hours worshipping Allah, who find no difficulty. Many a times this is a deceit from shaitan. Why? Because if a person's life is void of good, he will very quickly realize that I am far away from Jannat. I am far away from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I need to do something. But with all these goodies in front of him, he cannot see the bad aspects of his life. And he will continue in this cycle, Umrah, Hajj, 40 days, 4 months, in the company of the Shaykh during the month of Ramadan in Aitikaf, continually going to his Shaykh, in the company of his Shaykh, every day 5 times, Salat regularly, Tilawat is there, Zikr is there, Tasbih is there, and with that, he is doing more evil than the good that he is carrying out. But the attention does not go towards those evil actions. Shaitan keeps the attention towards the good only. And a person will only realize at the time of death, after death, that he has done more bad than good and he does not deserve Jannah. He will have to go in the fire of Jahannam first. I always advise my friends, my Muslim brothers, my sisters, that we should all keep a small notebook. And once a week, once a month, sit down in solitude and try to assess your life from the Islamic point of view. What good do I have in my life and what evil do I have in my life? And note down all the evils. For example, Alhamdulillah, I always wake up for Fajr Salat. And I perform my salat in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. That is under control. When I leave my home to go to the masjid, my gaze falls here and there. That's a negative point. So I need to note that down, that my gaze is falling here and there. Unlawful gaze. That is a shortcoming in my life. When I go to the masjid, I end up walking with a friend of mine to the masjid or after masjid towards my home. And we backbite, we talk about other people. That is a negative point in my life. I find jealousy for my brother, jealousy for my neighbor, jealousy towards this person, towards that person. That is a negative point in my life. And every week or every month, go through that list and see whether the condition is same or the condition is better or condition is worse. And the goal should be that before I depart from this world, the list in this notebook has to reach zero. Then only I will be able to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show him my face. Very important point I am mentioning to you, my friend. There are so many of us. I am looking at myself. I am judge and jury for myself. You are judge and jury for yourself. Our deen and the teachings of our akabir, our mashayikh, teach us that even if you see the worst person in the community, the apparently worst, only Allah knows who is good, who is bad, who is the best, who is the apparently worst. Somebody living in our community who hardly comes to the masjid. So I come to the masjid 5 times regularly, he doesn't come. So apparently he is bad and I am good. I have a Shari beard. He does not have Shari beard. So apparently I am good and he is bad.
those people who are apparently bad or apparently worst in the community, our Sharia, our Akabir teaches that even those people should not be looked down upon. Because there is a possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may become unhappy with a particular evil deed that you carry out and hold you accountable on the day of Qiyamah, and there is a possibility that a single good deed that this worst, so-called worst person carries out, and that may become a means of his forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. So we can never look down upon anybody. So this assessment that I am asking you to make, it is not assessment of other people, assessment of ourselves. Assessment of ourselves. Regarding other people, we should not feel that this brother is better than me, this brother is better than me, this brother is better than me. Even if somebody does not have a Sharia beard, the thought process should be that in this regard, I am better than him, only in this regard. But there is a possibility that in his private life, within his heart, there is something very good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, and because of that he is better than me in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or, future is better for him and future is bad for him. I may slip away from the straight path and he may remain steadfast on the straight path and he may progress. A good student will never become happy until the result is out. A student of GCSE A level, he has written all his papers well. He will never say that definitely 8 A's. 8 A stars. No. If you ask him how were your exams, he will say, Alhamdulillah, it looks as if it went well, Alhamdulillah, just make dua for me. Until the result is out, even the best of the students will never speak proudly, arrogantly. It's only after the result is out. And our result will be out when we depart from this world. Only when we depart from this world, we will know whether we have gone with Iman, whether we have gone with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where I want to leave all my brothers with, my sisters at home also. Please, it's a plea from me to myself and to all my brothers, to all my sisters, and this is a message that needs passing on, that we need to concentrate on the negative aspects of our life, not the positive. Alhamdulillah, positive is there. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the mashayikh, there is a very, very important amal which is called muhasabah. And muhasabah means self-reckoning, self-assessment, self-reckoning. In 24 hours you fix a time, let's say before going to sleep, or come early to the masjid 10 minutes before Maghrib Salah, before Maghrib, immediately after, fix a time, that this is for self-assessment, self-reckoning. And a person should close his eyes and go through his 24 hours, past 24 hours. This was wrong, this was right, this was good, this was bad. Whatever good he finds, he should tell himself, just sitting there quietly with his eyes closed, that Alhamdulillah, that good was the result of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I am grateful to you for that fadl. When you are grateful to Allah, Allah will grant you more tawfiq the following day. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. So all the good that you see in your life when doing self-assessment, attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this was only as a result of the sheer grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and oh Allah, I am grateful to you, grant me more tawfiq. And whenever we see any bad, we immediately say, Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, you have granted me so many blessings, and here I am disobeying you, the giver of the blessing. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. I can't be more filthier than this. I can't be more filthier than this, that it is you who have granted me the eyes, and it is with this very gift of yours I am disobeying you. Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, I am making a firm resolution that from now I will not commit this sin. Oh Allah, you help me. You continue doing this and you will see results in weeks. You will see results in weeks. Why we do not see results in our lives is that we do not know what sin we are committing. We do not know what sins we are committing, and we are not concerned about the sins we are committing. We just brush it aside, brush it aside, brush it aside, brush it aside, and these heaps, not heap, heaps of sins will haunt us and torture us after we depart from this world.
So make a firm resolution, inshallah, that we will pay attention to this aspect of our lives. We will continue doing all the good that we are doing, and we will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq, and we will try our utmost to abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will neither fear nor grieve. And who are the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those who perform tahajjud every day. Those who go for Umrah and Hajj every year. Those who spend millions and millions in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those people who accept Iman and thereafter abstain from the displeasure of Allah. That is what you have to do. Carry out the faraid, wajibat, sunan muakkada, and abstain from the haram and makruhat tahrimiya. Iman is already there, and half of taqwa is already there, alhamdulillah. Many do's are there, many don'ts are there. We just need to exert a little bit of effort and make these do's and don'ts 100%. As soon as that is done, we become the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this world is ours, grave is ours, day of qiyamah is ours, ul sirat is ours, and jannah is ours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this nikah and create a very strong bond of love between the bride and the bridegroom. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them both assist each other in not only the worldly aspects of their lives, but especially towards the dini aspects of their lives. May this nikah become a means of taqwa coming in their lives, and taqwa progressing in their lives. May they both become sadaqah jariyah, coolness of the eyes of their parents, their families, and may they become a means of salvation for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this nikah a means of pious progeny. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.